the Vox Markets podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Time for an update from ACG Metals. The company's got exposure to copper and various other metals as well. Its founder, chairman, and chief executive is Artem Volynets, and he joins us now. So, Artem, very good to see you.
Great to see you again, Arista. Thank you for your time and attention.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting story, isn't it, ACG? You guys have been getting busy. You've got some big numbers behind you now, some good operations. So tell us from the top then, what is ACG Metals? What are you up to, in the mining space?
ACG Metals is a very ambitious startup. We are 18 months old. We created the company through the acquisition of a producing asset in the western side of Turkey. We listed on the main board of the London Stock Exchange. We're small, market cap roughly half a billion US dollars, somewhat grown over the last 18 months from $100 million from where we started. But we posed for another 2 to 3 times increase in the next 12 to 18 months as we execute on our project in Turkey, where we are transitioning from production of gold, which generated $76 million in EBITDA last year, to the production of copper, with the average per year annual production of about 20 to 25,000 tons of copper equivalent. This year, our guidance is 20 to 22,000 tons of copper equivalent, which includes production of gold in the first half of the year and production of copper concentrate and zinc concentrate from about August, when we expect to start producing from our new flotation plant in Turkey, which we are finishing building. So essentially, the story of ACG Metals is one of up-and-coming producer, which is not well-known in the markets yet. But as we complete our construction, which is essentially, 2.5 months or so from the start of production and fully on budget and on time, we should expect to see very significant re-rating in our shares, which is also helped by the fact that we continue to produce gold and generate very significant cash flows. And cash is very much our focus. We have $120 million US dollars on our balance sheet at the end of Q1 this year, and that despite a significant capex outlay of $146 million over the last year and a half. So we are not an explorer. We are a producer with a big greenfield project which is coming into fruition just about now this summer. So it's a very exciting new growth story in copper that UK investors should be aware of.
I mean, this is not your first go round, is it though, Artem? I mean, we should bear in mind, one, that the timing here is very good. You've got into copper and gold production at a time when the commodity cycle looks very favourable. And two, that you've got plenty of experience in this industry yourself. So you're not coming at this from scratch, are you? You guys really know what's what.
Well, I've been in the mining for about 30 years. Perhaps 10 in the middle was formative for me, in a sense that it gave me inspiration in founding ACG Metals. So that 10 years in the middle of the last 30, I spent consolidating the aluminium industry globally to build United Company Rusal, is the world's largest aluminium company outside of China. When I led its IPO in Hong Kong in 2010, the pre-money valuation was $20 billion, and we raised another $2 billion in the IPO. What we're doing now is essentially the same strategy, which is consolidation of a specific sector, but this time I am focusing on copper and starting with the listed vehicle and existing production in Turkey, where we aim to add more assets to our portfolio in Turkey, Eastern Europe, Balkans, Central Asia as the first step, as we look to build a global copper-focused company. As you may know, there is not enough pure-play copper companies in London or actually on any other stock exchange globally. And as you correctly mentioned, copper is a very exciting sector. Its supply and demand is very favorable over the medium to long term as new sectors, pools of demand are growing. One 1 gigawatt data center for the AI takes about 40,000 tons of copper. That is $500 million worth of copper. If the data centers continue to grow as predicted for the next 5 years, that sector alone will add 20% to the global copper demand. And this is before we talk about robotics, electric vehicles, increased defense spending, which in many respects also goes into the copper. Then ammunition is nothing else as copper shells. So the demand is growing steadily and rapidly, but the supply side is significantly constrained. There has not been any new copper discoveries over the last 30 years of major magnitude, other than Oyu Tolgoi in Mongolia and Kamoa-Kakula in Democratic Republic of Congo. Both, by the way, discoveries of Robert Friedland, who is our advisor. The grade of the existing mines is declining. Escondida, the world's largest copper mine owned by BHP in South America, operates at 0.5% grade. Our copper mine, or its polymetallic mine in Turkey, has 2.3% copper grade, so significantly better. But overall, there has been no new discoveries of magnitude. The copper grade is declining, supply side is constrained, demand is growing. I learned many years ago in university when things like that happens, that means increase in pricing.
So this dynamic is one reason why Gervase Williams at Premier Miton, the fund manager at Premier Miton, recently highlighted you guys at ACG Metals as being one of his favored plays in this space. The fact that copper really looks very favorable.
Yeah, it was great to hear those words from him. He's a well-respected fund manager in the UK. He and other shareholders of ACG are happy shareholders, I dare to say, as the shares are up 300% over the last 12 months or so. But we also have happy bondholders. Our bonds are trading at 110, 111 now, a significant premium to par. But as I said, this is we had a good performance in all of our securities, and we yet to see the best to come. Because if you do nothing else, if you don't buy any other assets, if you just complete our project in Turkey, which, as I mentioned, 2.5 months from start of production on budget and on time, we will be sitting on an asset generating close to $200 million in EBITDA in the years 2027, 28 per year, which is valued at 3 times less than the comparable companies on the London Stock Exchange, such as Atalaya or Taseka, with similar level of copper production and financial results. So it's a very exciting story, and whatever M&A we do is on top of that immediate re-rating potential.
So let's talk about the potential M&A for a second then, Artem. You sort of referred to the potential geographic extent of your ambitions, but what type of project would you like to be acquiring?
So I have to stress again that before we talk, M&A in my view is the cherry on the cake, right? If we do nothing else, if we just execute on what we have on the ground in Turkey, where we are coming to the end of our development project on budget, on time, expect to start production from our flotation facility in August, while at the same time continuing to produce gold and silver doré from our heap leach facility in the Merrill-Crowe plant. If we do nothing else, there is a 2 to 3 times re-rating potential for shares, which funds such as Premier and Milton has already noticed, right? And M&A is a cherry on the cake. Now I have to go to your question, which is what type of projects we're looking to acquire. Our focus is to build size and scale as soon as practically possible because we believe in the copper market fundamentals, as we have already discussed. So before going into any exploration, greenfield development, we'd like to have several assets, producing assets on our platform. Therefore, we are looking to acquire producing or near-producing assets, meaning they have a bankable feasibility study in place and permits in place to start production. Which means if we are looking to acquire these type of assets, we can use the debt as significant part of the acquisition price to the 70-80% of the deal value, which means that returns on equity will be magnified. It's a classic kind of roll-up consolidation play. It doesn't really matter whether you're consolidating dry cleaners or copper mines. The financial logic and strategic logic is the same. Size and scale brings reduction in the cost of capital, brings risk diversification, meaning the shares should be trading at a higher multiple.
Is it your understanding that there will be many such projects available and on the market for you guys to be interested in?
There is a competition, obviously. Everybody is excited about copper. But number one, we are operating in the regions where the competition from large Western listed companies is minimal. And the governments of the Eastern European, Central Asian, and other countries on a Tasman copper belt are not particularly keen to give a lot of things to the Chinese. Yes, they are competition from the private local players, but appeal to the current asset owners in those jurisdictions is to be part of the exciting growth story of a listed company on the London Stock Exchange and perhaps earn a higher returns with us, having potentially sold their assets not only for cash but also for shares, which has a high potential to grow. The other things to note in terms of competition and our competitive advantages, I think number one, we can move very fast. The speed of execution is the key differentiator nowadays. And two, we have access to funding parallel to none. Money is a commodity. If you have good projects and if you have experienced teams such as the one that we built at ACG Metals, the investors trust us, and our track record so far shows that we can make investors significant amount of money.
So fine, let's bring it back to the Turkish asset before we close out here, Artem. You mentioned the $200 million EBITDA number that's on the horizon there once you're up and running in production. That's obviously going to be a lot of cash coming into the company. You've got a big cash pile already. Is there going to be any kind of dividend policy, or are you going to pile that cash back into the company's development?
We have a strong view that each asset and each transaction has to be stand on its own feet, and each deal has to be funded with a third-party capital. If you cannot find third-party capital to fund the next deal, it means the deal is bad, right? If the deal is good, there will be many investors. That's a good test to see if you have developed a good transaction or not. As to the cash flows from the existing asset, once we refinance our existing bonds, which we can do, the first opportunity to do so will be in the beginning of next year, we can start paying dividends. And we certainly will look to establish a dividend policy. I personally would be keen to ensure that this happens, as well as my fellow shareholders.
So just to close us out then, finally, Artem, remind us what the news flow is going to look like in the coming months from you guys.
So the key milestones for us for the remainder of this year and beginning of the next one is obviously number one, the start of production from our flotation facility. We are at the end of our construction cycle. We poured the last concrete already. So June is assembly. July is the dry and wet commissioning. In August is the start of production. With getting to the full capacity before the certainly before the end of the year, and we look to get the full commercial production by the end of Q3. So that's perhaps the most important value creating event that we see in the immediate vicinity. Once we reach full production, we do expect to be in the indexes as well. We have joined the first index, Microcap. We would expect to migrate to the next level or segment of the London Stock Exchange and be qualified.